It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, August 3rd, 2022. On today's ship schedule, we have 4 inbounders, we have 8 outbounders, and we have 2 vessels anchored in the river near Astoria. In our marine weather forecast, northwest winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves from the northwest 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, northwest swells 3 feet at 7 seconds. And today we're going to talk about commerce on the river, upriver from way upriver from Astoria, a place where there's a problem right now, and how it is affecting commerce on the river elsewhere. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. Our first arrival was an articulated tug and barge rig called Vision. She's a Crowley Maritime vessel. Arriving from Anacortes, headed for Portland, refined petroleum is her cargo. She came into the river past Astoria about 3:30 a.m. and arriving in Portland around 9:30 this morning. The Ohio is a petroleum tanker, also arriving from Anacortes, headed for Portland, refined petroleum there, passing Astoria around noontime inbound and in Portland by about 6 p.m. The Pan Eldorado is a dry bulk carrier arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll be going upriver to pick up wheat eventually. Look for her in Astoria's anchorage by about 4:30 p.m. And the SM Busan is a container ship arriving from Seattle, headed for Portland, the port of Portland. She will pass Astoria around 10:30 p.m. and be in Portland by about 4:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. In her outbounders, the BBG Gwilin, leaving Kalama with wheat on board about 3 a.m. She passed Astoria outbound around 8 a.m. The Ocean Crown is leaving Portland, potash on board, leaving around noontime, passing Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. The Argent Iris is leaving Vancouver, refined petroleum, leaving around 1 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 7 p.m. The Oyster Bay is leaving Portland, soda ash on board from the Port of Portland, leaving around 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11 p.m. The MSC Madeleine is leaving Portland. She's a container ship heading out from the Port of Portland about 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11 p.m. And the Sakazaya Leader is leaving Kalama, corn, soy, or wheat on board, leaving around 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 10 p.m. The Daria Vidya is leaving Longview with soda ash on board, leaving around 5:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. And the Themis is leaving Vancouver carrying wheat, leaving around 11 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 5 a.m. on Thursday morning. Well, today I want to talk about another one of those stories about how things are all connected. So we don't usually think much about what's happening on other parts of the Columbia River system, other than right where we're standing, if we happen to be looking at the river at any given moment. But right now, something is happening upriver that is having a profound effect on what happens downstream in terms of cargo transport of the raw materials and grains that are the lifeblood of Columbia River commerce. The John Day Dam on the Columbia River currently has a damaged lock gate system that is slowing tug and barge traffic through the dam. So tugs and barges regularly go through there as part of the Columbia River Snake River system, which goes all the way up into Idaho, and that's how we get a lot of our raw materials. A lot of our wheat, corn, even dry minerals come down river on barges and go to other ports like Portland, Vancouver, and other places to be loaded on ships and then taken overseas. So having this lock gate mechanism damaged. These lock mechanisms and dams are in places where the river is higher or lower on one side than the other. So in order to take vessels through these areas, they have these locks. And so what they do is they will bring a vessel in, close the lock, which is like a kind of like a compartment within the dam where they can, they bring a vessel in and they can shut gates on both sides to sort of contain it in there and control the water level and either add water or lower water to bring the vessel up to the level on the other side of the dam. And so it's a safe way to bring vessels, tugs and barges in this case, through an area where the river level is not constant. It is different on one side of the dam than the other. So this is pretty typical. We have dams on the Columbia River. Tug and barge traffic goes through them all the time, and they create this system of commerce that goes all the way up into Idaho from Portland and out to the river here because the ships are part of that system, and the tugs and barges with the ships are part of the cargo chain, the commerce chain that brings all this stuff to market. So as far as this damaged lock mechanism, they've got a temporary workaround in place, but it's slow. At least the dam isn't closed altogether, but the traffic of tugs and barges through this John Day Dam is really slow right now. So why would this matter? Well, that's because the dam is part of that system. The dam is about 20 river miles upstream on the Columbia from the Dalles, to give you an idea of where it is. The big issue right now, this would be an issue at any time of year, but especially now because it's harvest time. So there's going to be a lot of wheat in particular coming down the river, and the progress of those barges is slowed right now. Engineers don't know how long it will take to fix it. They don't know what caused the damage, but initial estimates put the repair costs at about $1 million. Here's a quote from Kurt Harmon. He is the senior vice president of the grain division for Columbia Grain International. They ship grain out of the Portland-Vancouver area. I think they have a terminal at Vancouver. He told the Capital Press newspaper, "We're in a critical time right now at the beginning of harvest, and there's going to be a lot of grain that needs to be moved, a lot of export sales that we've made that we need to execute, and a lot of sales the growers have made and they need to be able to deliver," unquote. So shipping wheat by rail and truck are alternatives if needed, but that's expensive compared to tug and barge traffic, which is actually one of the most economical ways to move things in the world, if not the most economical way to move cargo. So experts say the John Day situation really highlights the value of the river shipping system and the value of these locks on the river. So the Portland District locks on the Columbia River, just to give you an idea of the amount of cargo that is handled through this system, the Portland District dams include the Bonneville, John Day, Dalles, and Willow Creek dams, handle 10 million of the 50.5 million tons of cargo shipped annually in the nation. So about a fifth of U.S. cargo goes through that river system. So the Columbia River, a little bit more about some statistics, that some of which I've mentioned before. The Columbia River is the number one U.S. gateway for wheat and barley. But wheat especially, many tons of wheat go out the Columbia River. See all those bulk carriers that come in to pick up wheat. Tremendous amount of wheat goes out of the Columbia. We are the number two U.S. export gateway for corn and soy. You always hear me talking about corn and soy being shipped out of Kalama. And the number one U.S. export gateway for West Coast mineral bulk. So potash, soda ash, some of those other cargoes that you hear me talking about that are mined inland, that are put on tugs and barges and brought here. The tug and barge piece is really critical and pretty much, I mean, we do see tugs and barges going by up here, but the workhorse fleet of tugs that go up the river from Vancouver on the Columbia and move all that grain and minerals up and down the river inland from Vancouver is a huge piece of the chain of commerce here that most of us downriver never see, but they are absolutely vital. As you can see, when the pathway that they need to use to get up and downriver, the locks through one of these dams is impeded, it has a big ripple effect on commerce elsewhere on the river. So just another one of those stories about how everything is connected, and most of the time everything moves very smoothly. And when something happens, we have an opportunity to appreciate how amazingly all those pieces work together pretty flawlessly most of the time. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.